We want, with God's help, to begin to study a statement of faith called the Canons of Dort. And if you turn in the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 898, there are five main points of doctrine in the Canons of Dort, and we would like to look at three or four articles from each main point of doctrine. So we'll start with Article 7 on election. Is really the center of this entire first point of doctrine. Election, page 898, election. A summary then of the teachings of Scripture. Election, or choosing, is God's unchangeable purpose by which he did the following. Before the foundation of the world, by sheer grace, according to the free good pleasure of his will, he chose in Christ to salvation a definite number of particular people out of the entire human race, which had fallen by its own fault from its original innocence into sin and ruin. Those chosen were neither better nor more deserving than the others, but lay with them in the common misery. He, the Father, did this in Christ, whom he also appointed from eternity to be the mediator, the head of all those chosen, and the foundation of their salvation. And so he decided to give the chosen ones to Christ to be saved, and to call and draw them effectively into Christ's fellowship through his word and spirit. In other words, he decided to grant them true faith in Christ, to justify them, to sanctify them, and finally, after powerfully preserving them in the fellowship of his Son, to glorify them. God did all this in order to demonstrate his mercy to the praise of the riches of his glorious grace, as Scripture says in Ephesians 1. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world so that we should be holy and blameless before him with love. He predestined us, whom he adopted as his children through Jesus Christ in himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, by which he freely made us pleasing to himself in his beloved. And elsewhere, Romans 8, those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. And then let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in Christ. He chose us in him before the foundation or before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him, in Christ, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Oh, may God be glorified and our faith strengthened through this great word of God. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, let's go on a little journey to the Netherlands in the 1600s to the town of Dordrecht, where a synod, an important synod of the Reformed Churches of the Netherlands. So the Reformed Church in the Netherlands met beginning November 13, 1618. On November 13 begins the 400th anniversary of the Great Synod of Dort, short form for Dordrecht. Stretching from November 13, 1618 to May 9, 1619. And sort of within that time period, I hope to do a series of 15 or so sermons on the canons of Dort, that the riches of God's glory and our salvation might be brought out and exalted and praised. That's the whole point. This synod, a meeting of church leaders from a variety of places, included delegates from the Netherlands, but also 26 international delegates from across Europe and the British Isles. So it was an international synod. And the synod met to discuss one main issue in 1618, 1619. Who is sovereign in our salvation? Is it God or man? Are we saved by the power of God's free and sovereign good pleasure? Or are we saved by man's power of free will? Which is it? Which is first? Which is primary? Now, the leading figure on the side of those pushing man's free will, finally, our salvation is a result of our own choice, of our own will. The leading figure pushing that view was Jacob Arminius. Though he had died by the time of the synod, that was his view, and his followers continued to carry that free will banner. And that's the chief error that the canons of Dort seek to answer from Scripture. Under five main canons, a canon is a teaching, five main teachings. Number one, we're saved by God's unconditional election. Number two, through Christ's powerful saving death for the elect. Saved from our powerless condition of sin and corruption. Saved through the Spirit's irresistible call. And saved by God's grace to persevere in faith all the way to the end. Those who believe will never lose their salvation. And so as we come to the 400th anniversary, I want to study with you these wonderful doctrines of grace. With God's help and as God permits. And may we rejoice together in a salvation that is absolutely secure, because it's totally in the hands of our triune God from beginning to end. A salvation that's totally secure, absolutely secure in the Father's sovereign choice, first, in the Son's saving blood, secondly, and in the Spirit's sealing power. It's absolutely secure, number one, in the Father's sovereign choice. Now, let's be very clear about our salvation, brothers and sisters. If you're saved, that did not happen without your choice. If you're saved, that did not happen without your choice. You were not a robot in the business of salvation. You exercised faith, okay? You believed. You came to Christ that you might have life. You chose Jesus Christ. God involved you directly and personally. If you cannot accept this truth, that you're saved through your choosing Jesus Christ, the living faith, He called you to come and you came. If you cannot accept this truth, you hold some sad form of what we call hyper-Calvinism. But the reason you chose Christ, dear brother, dear sister, and the reason you came to Christ when He called, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The reason you came does not lie in you and your power, the power of your free will. Because the Bible teaches we're dead in our sins. And we can't choose Christ unless God chooses first to work in us and chooses us for salvation. If you're reading through the book of Acts, and you're in Acts 13, and you follow Paul while he's preaching to the pagans at the city in Antioch, and they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ there for the first time. Many laughed at it. Many were angered by it. We don't want that stuff. But we also read in Acts 13, 48, but all who were appointed to eternal life believed. Did you hear that? All who were appointed to eternal life believed. Why did they believe? God appointed them to it. God chose them to believe. And His choice gave them the power, planted in them the power to choose him. His choice is the sovereign choice that gives us the power to choose him. They believed in Jesus because God gave them the gift of faith. And that's what we just read in Ephesians 1. If you just turn there with me, we want to walk through that passage. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. How? How did we get blessed? How do we get blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms? Really? How did you get so blessed? How did I get so blessed with salvation? Verse 4. For he, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he chose us in him, in Christ. When? He chose us before the foundation or before the creation of the world. Outside of time. He chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight. He chose us to this, to faith. And holiness and salvation in Christ. From all eternity, he set his choice on us that we should come to faith and he should bless us with salvation in Christ. He elected us to this. And that's why we have it. That's why we have salvation, why we have these spiritual blessings. But why did he choose us? And in verses 5 and 6, Paul gives us a 5-layer answer. Why God chose us. A 5-layer answer in verses 5 and 6. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely gave us in the one he loves. Number one, layer one, love. In love, he predestined us. It's the gift of his love. Before the world began, he looked ahead. I'm speaking in human terms because there's no time with God here. But before the world began, he looked ahead and he saw the human race lost in misery. Misery of our sin. We're hating one another. Rebelling against God. Being hated. Murdering. Lusting. Addicted. Twisted. Cheating. Pursuing our own gain on the backs of other people. Lost. Broken. Dead to God. In love with sin. Stuck. He saw us. We couldn't save ourselves. We were powerless, and his love went out to choose many lost sinners deserving hell to be saved. In love, layer two, predestination. What did he do in his love? In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ. He didn't just predestine circumstances for us, such as he predestined I would hear the gospel when I was a kid. And that would give me the chance to believe. He didn't just predestine circumstances for me. No, he predestined people. In love, he predestined us. Me. Before time. His love reached out to me. And he arranged for me a destiny of salvation. That's predestination. Before the world began, he arranged for me the destiny of glory, of salvation in Christ. Of eternal hope and blessing. And he didn't do that for everybody. And we need to look at that in a later sermon. But he did that for many. A countless multitude nobody can number, the Bible says. And nobody deserved it. He did it, thirdly, for his own good pleasure. He did it in love. He did it through predestination. He did it for his own good pleasure. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. It would have been totally fair and just for him to condemn us all. That's what we deserve. Because when he made us good. He gave us every gift. Made us holy and righteous and knowing God. And in Adam, we just threw that away. We kicked God. We gave him the finger. We said, out of my life, I want Satan. He's better. God's a cheater. Said all kinds of nasty, rebellious, wicked things. Lies about God. It would have been right and fair for him to condemn us all. But just because it pleased him to do so, he predestined many. He predestined us to adoption as his sons. Rather than to condemnation as his enemies, as I deserve. And the reason lies in his sovereign good pleasure. It pleased him to do so. That's why. And not in anything that lies in me. And that's layer four. It's his free choice. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. It's his free choice to adopt us in Christ for salvation. It's a totally free gift of grace to be chosen by God for salvation. There's nothing I did to be entitled to it. Nothing in me that made me worthy of this choice is unconditional. That is, I can't meet any conditions to make myself eligible for election. You see, some describe election backwards. God is a giant knowledge machine. He knows all things, and before the world began, he looked ahead into history, and he saw whether I would believe or not. He saw whether I would choose him or not. He saw that whether I would be naughty or nice. And based on what he saw in us, he picked us. And suddenly, the whole thing is put backwards. And now election is based on what God saw we would do, and it's, we're in the driver's seat, and God is the secretary taking notes. Or we're playing the game and he's just the announcer doing the play-by-play. Bible's so clear. He chose us in Christ before the creation of the world. Not because he saw that we would be holy and blameless. The reason wasn't in us. But he chose us in Christ before the creation of the world was for to be holy and blameless. To come to faith. To be united to Christ. And in Christ by his Spirit to become holy and blameless. He chose us for that. It's free. It's based on nothing he saw in me. And because it's free, therefore I'm eligible. If it depended on anything in me, I would not be eligible. Because I would not meet that condition. I could not as a sinner. It comes completely from him. And the last layer, he did this for his own glory. What was his goal? In love, verse 5, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will to the praise of his glorious grace. To the praise of, just to show off the glory of his grace. I want to show how merciful I can be. So you can be saved and you can lift up your arms and praise me. Election is never a reason for boasting in ourselves. Hey, you know, I'm good. I'm one of the chosen. It's the opposite. Hey, I'm amazing. I believed in Jesus. I'm a child of God. Wait a minute. You had nothing to do with it. That was all God's choice. When you deserved the opposite and you even wanted the opposite. And he got into your life. And not only that, he predestined to get into your life long before you were born, before the world was created. And all we must do is just praise and glorify him for choosing to be gracious to us, for predestining us, unworthy sinners, for salvation, for opening my heart and giving me faith to choose him, to choose Christ, to believe. And so as we read in Article 7, election or choosing is God's unchangeable purpose by which he did the following. Before the foundation of the world, by sheer grace, according to the free good pleasure of his will, he chose in Christ to salvation a definite number of particular people out of the entire human race, which had fallen by its own fault from its original innocence into sin and ruin. Remember this sentence, those chosen were neither better nor more deserving than the others, but lay with them in the common misery. I deserve hell as much as anybody else in this world. I deserve hell as much as Hitler. What he did outwardly lives in me inwardly. I know it and you know it. And the fact that I'm saved has nothing to do with how good I am or what lives in me. It has everything to do with God's free and sovereign good pleasure, his loving choice from all eternity. It's a salvation that's absolutely secure, secondly, in the Son's saving blood. Paul says in Ephesians 1, there's more to this free and sovereign election than simply God's choice to predestine us for salvation in love. There's another layer Or another aspect that adds even more security to our salvation, and it's that God chose us. He elected us in the Son's saving blood. Go back with me to Ephesians 1 verse 4, please. Blessed be the God and or praised be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? For He, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, chose us in Him, in Christ, before the creation of the world. In other words, when God chose you for salvation from all eternity, Christ was in the picture then already. He chose you in Christ. He gave your name to Jesus. He gave your person to Jesus. This one's going to fall into sin and misery and deserve to die. My Son, I give Him to you to come to earth, die for Him, take His place in condemnation and save Him. God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world. Go on to verse 5. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. Now, our adoption as children of God occurs in Christ. That is, we rejected membership in God's family. Like prodigals, we said, we don't want you as our dad anymore. I'm out of here. I got better things to do than live with you, Dad. And so we were expelled from the house for our wickedness and lost and estranged. And God in love sent His Son to take our place under the death penalty of our sin and to be killed for us. And His blood signed our adoption papers so that we could be rescued from the death penalty and brought back into the family of God. Our adoption papers are signed through Jesus Christ. But here's the main point. God predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ. Way before the foundation of the world, the Father was involved in choosing us for adoption, but the Son was involved too. They had a discussion, you might say. They made an agreement. We call that sometimes the covenant of redemption. They're both involved in our election. The Father says, I give them to you. The Son says, I will rescue them by dying for them in the fullness of time. So from eternity, as believers, you belong to the Father and the Son. And that's what happened. As God planned it, the Father and the Son, so it happened. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 7. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. That's a double security. He chose you by His grace. But He also chose Christ to mediate for you so your sins could be cleared out of the way. And so we read also in that middle section of Article 7 of the Canons of the Dort, the Father chose us in Christ, whom He also appointed from eternity to be our mediator, the head of all those chosen and the foundation of their salvation. All praise to Jesus for His glorious grace. You know, He didn't come as an afterthought to die for you. He didn't come because He was forced into it. He came because He's part of the eternal plan of God. The Father gave us to Him as His children. The Son chose to accept us as the sinners He wanted to ransom with His blood for adoption as God's children. So Paul is having such a hard time serving as a missionary in Corinth because he's getting beat up all the time. So many enemies are assaulting him. It's Jesus who says in Acts 18 to Paul, do not be afraid, for I'm with you. I will not let you be harmed, for I have many in this city who are my people. It's Jesus who said that. I have many in this city who are my people. And my election plan gives you assurance and security as a missionary and as an evangelist that you will not come up empty. Your work will not go unrewarded because I've chosen many in this city. And thirdly, it's a salvation that's absolutely secure, not only in the Father's choice and in the Son's blood, but also in the Holy Spirit's sealing power. There's a third guarantee of our salvation that stretches back to God's eternal plan of election. It's the Holy Spirit. So from eternity, God chose to save us. He predestined us for adoption. And secondly, from eternity, God chose us in Christ for salvation. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. But there's a third part to this eternal plan of God's election. There's a third part. If you go to verse 11, verses 11 through 14 of Ephesians 1, just take a moment to look there. In Him, in Christ, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. Now, works out everything in His predestination plan. What's that everything? It involves three things. In order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. That's the first thing that's in God's predestination plan, that we would hear the word of truth. God planned the gospel to come your way and reach your ears. Maybe He reached your ears as a child of the covenant. You grew up in a Christian home and you heard the word from the time you were very little. Maybe He reached your ears from outside of the covenant. And you heard the gospel from another source. But in His predestination plan, you would hear the word of truth. And secondly, in His predestination plan, verse 13, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed. His predestination plan included this. You would hear the word of truth and you would believe. He planned your faith too. He planned that you would hear the gospel. He planned your faith too. He planned to reach into your life, to open your closed heart, to hear the message of Jesus Christ and trust in Him so you might be saved. But there's a third aspect in His predestination plan. Verse 13, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You believed. And third, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who applies your salvation, who brings you to Christ, to believe in Him. And then seals you, protects that salvation so you don't lose it. And keeps your faith going, preserves you all the way to glory. You see, the point is, the Holy Spirit is every bit a part of the predestinating plan of God the Father, as the Father and the Son are. There's a triple bond and a triple security in election. The work of the Father choosing you. The work of the Son, the plan to come and die for you. The work of the Holy Spirit, the plan to come and open your heart to believe. And by believing, bringing Christ, uniting you to Christ and bringing all His blessings into your life. As Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. He chose you through sanctification by the Spirit. The Spirit is every bit a part of God's election plan as the Father and the Son. So we confess He decided to give the chosen ones to Christ to be saved, Article 7, to call and draw them effectively into Christ's fellowship through His Word and Spirit. In other words, He decided to grant them true faith in Christ, to justify them, to sanctify them, and finally, after powerfully preserving them in the fellowship of His Son, to glorify them. And God did this all to demonstrate His mercy to the praise of the riches of His glorious grace. And if you think today that your salvation hangs from the precarious rope of your own strength and your own faith and your own perseverance, think again. It's not true. You will never have certainty and security if you believe that lie. Rather, the certainty of your salvation hangs from the divine rope made of three strands which cannot be broken in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who planned, purchased, and applied your salvation from all eternity. And therefore, you may know with certainty that when you believe in Jesus Christ, God chose you for this. He will not turn you away. Your sins will be washed away. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you will be protected from beginning to end because the God who authored your salvation in the beginning and gave you faith is the God who will stay with you and bring you all the way to the finish line. Our salvation is absolutely secure because it's in the hand of a sovereign, unchanging God. Praise His name. Amen. Let's pray. Lord our God, thank you that though you call us to come to you and though you call us to trust in you, yet our security does not lie in what we choose or what we do, but in your sovereign eternal choice and in your eternal powerful working. And we rest in you today. And we pray that this confidence will put spring in our step to be able to serve you more faithfully and confidently as your children. We ask, Lord, that you will give us your grace to trust in you and to live to the glory, the praise of the glory of your grace, and to put no confidence in ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.